Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Yeah, we're still kicking it. Over 300 episodes, rolling hot, representing the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Today's show, we have Michael Pokluda. He has a background in mathematics, software development, and computer graphics. He started as a laser show designer for small parties and discos. Later, he found interest in developing laser show software and hardware. He is an author of Fiesta and Monka Laser Show Software, produced by Shotical Limited Company. He is also one of the developers of LED Strip Studio pixel mapping software used for a variety of LED installations for TVs, TV clubs, museums, or LED dance performances. He is now CEO of LED Strip Studio Company, which produces pixel LED controllers and LED strip software. So we're pushing the limits here, folks, of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast into theatrical lighting and all that sort of stuff, Greg. But before we go there, you got to hang this stuff with something. And why wouldn't you use Griplock Systems? That's GRIPLOCKSYSTEMS.com, baby.
That's right. And there's one thing that's not negotiable with me is whenever I do a fixture and I'm hanging it, I'm using Griplock. And that's no joke. I've been doing it for ever since I started in lighting. They've been around for 30 years. Totally necessary. Don't use chain. Chain is not adjustable. It's difficult to manage. Sure, the cable might cost a little more, but I tell you what, it looks a lot nicer, a lot easier to install, and you can adjust it a lot easier than you can chain. No more chain.
Well, you don't want to lean on that jack chain to get the level right, Greg? Stretch that jack chain out? No? Come on, man. Yeah. No?
Never.
Jack chain is jack shit. So go to griplocksystems.com. That's GRIPLOCKSYSTEMS.com. Brought to you by the good folks at the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. We're going to get it down in Dallas, Texas, Greg Eric. That's right. Lighting Convention's coming in hot.
September 18th. Get after it. We got our details planned and be looking for it. And sign up now. We need
sign
you.
Sign up.
Let's go.
Nail.org. Michael, welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. And,
yes,
you know,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that general lighting systems and theatrical lighting systems have been on a collision course with each other since the dawning of LED. And, Greg, I don't know how to start, but I know there's somewhere to go here. Do you have a good opening question for Michael to get us rolling here on Get a Grip on Lighting?
I don't know if it's a question, it's a comment. There, you know, one thing that And looking at your website and everything you do, I love almost more than anything for lighting is a laser light show. How many have you been to, Mike Culligan?
Yeah,
have you ever been to any?
Yeah, they're
the best.
Yeah. Yes, I love them too.
And obviously, you're into it. So how did you get started? Just break it down. I know we read a little on the bio, but where did you start and to get to the point you're at today?
Yeah, well, I come from a small village here in Slovakia, and you know, we had there were maybe three lasers in all the country doing laser shows, and one of them was actually in that small village, and so I started working for a DJ, and I did some laser shows for him. It was like small gigs, discos usually, but we did also some advertisement with lasers. And yeah, we are using actually gas lasers. I'm not sure if you are familiar with them.
Gas, like, as in GAS lasers?
Gas. Yes. Okay. Yes, they were water cooled. Mm-hmm. So, and you needed 380 to power them. So a lot of fun. And every one of them was about 100 kilos. So not really a portable thing.
So it stayed in the village. That's where the party was always at.
Yeah, I mean, we travel around the Slovakia, but yes, he was a DJ, so he had his own venue. And
what year was that? There. What years were that? When was that?
It was 1998.
So a lot has changed since the gas laser days, and now you're into LED technology. I'm gonna say it must have revolutionized this field in the last 10 years.
Definitely. I mean, you don't use gas lasers anymore. So, and, you know, back in the days, we were lucky that actually the one laser we have was working. And most quite a lot of time it was not. And now they have moved to air-cooled lasers. And you use, I don't know, maybe on some of the shows, 100 of them. So yeah, it's shifted to using from one laser to many.
Mm.
So you weren't joking at the beginning. You said you had one laser. You literally had one.
Yes. That was no joke. Like it was like this big, about 2 meters long, yeah. And had about 100 kilos. So I had quite a lot of fun with it.
220 pounds, right, for all the Americans listening out there.
Yeah, sorry.
I needed that. All right, so your company, you do LED Strip Studio, that is involved in this. It looks like it's involved in a lot more than just laser shows, but tell us what you do.
Well, we stopped laser shows just last year. Actually, we sold the laser show part business to an American company, Pangolin, which is the biggest one in this field. And now I continue without my ex-business partner, and we do only LEDs. And for the LEDs, we are developing the software for pixel LEDs. I'm not sure if you are familiar with them.
Tell us about them.
No. Yeah, basically the LED, it is just usually it's RGB, so you have the color, but these pixel LEDs, they have also a control chip inside them. So like you have a LED strip where you have, I don't know, 60 LEDs per meter, and every one of those LEDs can shine a different color. So you can control them just like any screen.
Hmm.
Within the one chip itself.
Yes. So every one of those pixels on the LED strip can have different color. And thanks to that, you can install, I don't know, any number of them next to each other. And if you do the correct mapping, you can project some screen on them, like video or even live stream.
Wow. You go ahead, Greg. Go.
Yeah. What is your primary item you sell then? Is it the software? Is it the actual LEDs themselves? Is it how they're designed? Is it a combination of all of them?
Well, most of the time we sell the controllers. By controllers, I mean the hardware, which you connect to those LEDs, and also the software, which is telling the hardware what to project. Actually, behind me, you have these LED strips. As you can see, it's changing it's running video, basically.
Wow. These, the videos with the people wearing the clothes with the LEDs on it that I was watching, that's you guys, right? That's your company with the wearable materials and all that. They're dancing and doing all that kind of thing. How do you combine that programming? Is somebody adjusting that in real time? Or is it programmed into the dance routine beforehand and timed? How the heck does that all happen?
Well, we know a competition which do it live, but we don't recommend it because for the dancers, they have 16 pixels basically on of them. Like arm is one pixel, then the hand is another pixel. I don't know, chest is the separate pixel. And for every one of those pixels, you can adjust the color. So thanks to that, you can display, for example, just the hand can shine and the rest of the body is off. And thanks to that, you can do the tricks. Like one guy appears here and disappears here when he jumps, and the other guy appears on the other side. So this kind of black magic trick, or I don't know, how should I call them?
Yeah, sure.
You can create them in the software. And we develop the software which allows you to do so.
So who does the actual suit then? Does your company make the Tron Dance LED suit?
Yes, we produce our suits. The reason is, we do, not now, unfortunately, because of the corona, but we used to do like 6 shows per month. So the suits, they were traveling all the time. And I'm not sure if you have ever worked with dancers.
No, but I'm sure it's tough.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I like it personally, but the dancers are creatures which is always moving. Like they don't stop. So even if there is a rehearsal or there is no music, they still move, move, move. And you can imagine they destroy everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the dance suits, they have to be pretty durable. And that's why we produce them.
Yeah, how are they constructed? If you can give us a breakdown on.
I mean, we did several prototypes back in the days. The first one we thought that we will just use a standard suit and we attach the LED strips onto them. Well, they died after first rehearsal, which is so definitely not a good idea. But you learn.
Yeah, sure.
And yeah. And after we made a second version, which was already quite good, so we already knew that we cannot use just the suit. We cut the plastic, and we made special shapes so it doesn't prevent any movement. And we attach like an armor on the body. And on those plastic shells, we have LED strips.
And if you're listening to this right now and you haven't seen any of these performances, they're mesmerizing, actually. Like, I don't do a lot of show prep, but when Scott sent that to me and I started watching it, I couldn't help but continue to watch it. It was
same thing.
Mesmerizing, the way you did it. Now, I'm going to ask you a bit of an off-topic question, okay? Well, actually, before I do, are these connected by Bluetooth? How do they connect? How do you connect with them?
No. I mean, every Wi-Fi connection, like the standard one, for example, the Wi-Fi routers and or Bluetooth, they work till audience comes. Like because you have I don't know 1,000 Wi-Fi routers in one room, so yeah. every Wi-Fi router will stop. The only thing which is working, we found out, is the wireless DMX.
DMX.
So basically,
DMX, okay.
Yes, DMX. So what we do, the controller basically is a transmitter for DMX, and every one of those suits is a receiver for DMX.
Hmm.
And that's so how these, they work.
These pieces of plastic that you put on, and I'm looking on the website, and you guys should look on it too to get a feel for what it looks like. Your LED strips that are just taped or glued on to the plastic. Do they get hot?
Yes.
Do you feel it through the plastic, or is it okay?
No.
That's a heat sink.
No, it's
it down.
Okay. Yeah, we had the first prototype burned, so that one was hot. But we don't use them anymore, so, because it's not really safe.
Yeah, those dancers are already dead. We got new dancers now and new suits, right? So you know what's interesting is that. And I'm going to say something, Greg, maybe I'm wrong here, but I think this is the state of the art of the lighting industry. Like, I don't think there's anything in general, like it's like NASA for lighting, what this guy's doing here. We have lighting control systems for general lighting, and people can't connect damn 2x4 fixtures that are sitting in the same place in a room and don't move and dance, and people can't get them to shut off and on properly. I'm not kidding you, okay? Uh-huh. With these control systems, and you got people doing backflips and on a stage in a live performance, coordinated. Their hands are going on, their legs flip in the air. The lights come on in the mid flip. You see the guy flip and he lands, and all this craziness is going on. Why the hell can't the lighting industry get their act together, Greg? This guy's pulling off a miracle, and you can't turn off a 2x4 in a room with a sensor. What the hell's going on, Greg, Eric?
Maybe we need to be somewhere in between of a slowly moving fixture, and then we can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy.
So the technical issues you guys are facing are way advanced to anything in the lighting controls industry on the general use side. Why are we industry having so many problems?
Well, to be honest, I thought that lighting is actually easy to understand until I watched your podcast. And I found out how many details you actually have to handle with lightning, even the standard one. So, I mean, for us, the lightning part is, I'm not saying that easier, but it's not so complicated because we just use some LED strips which exist. So there is not much knowledge about the quality of the light and all the stuff that you have to handle. So yes, the lighting part is easier, but then the programming part and the durability, that's the challenge usually.
So why are lighting manufacturers having so much trouble creating lighting control systems that actually work? And you're, I know you may not be able to answer this question, but that actually work and deliver the results that people want. I mean, is that fair to say, Greg? We had one grade school, they couldn't even get into the system to turn the lights off. The lights had to be left on 24 hours a day for like a year and a half because no one could get this stuff figured out. It seems to me like a simple software issue that you should get a software developer in there to communicate with this thing. Why are we struggling so much in comparison to what the heck you guys are pulling off? What is it that we're missing? What skill? What technique? What type of technology? Is it DMX we should all go to instead of Bluetooth mesh? Like, what is the problem, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know much of lightning stuff for the buildings and things like that. So the only time we have used DALI, which was a control system for a building, but it was so bad, actually. I mean, we were not able to set it up correctly. I don't know why. And I think the answer from my point of view on your question is the DMX is simple. It's basically just 512 channels, and you give them meaning in the fixture at the end. And the DMX is everywhere, so it's easy to use. And yeah.
And the DMX is a wireless protocol, correct?
No, DMX is usually by wires, but you can use also wireless DMX. Yes.
So the when you're like what you're able to do, you're saying is simple. When I watched your videos, it didn't look simple to me at all, actually. And what it did was made me step back and say, we're missing some kind. I'm going to turn this to Greg to answer. We're missing some kind of knowledge in the lighting industry, because what he does with those suits, and I'll get back to your suits and the dance things in a second, but what there's something we're missing, Greg, because like I said, what this guy's doing in with lighting, and he said, like, lighting is nothing. He's absolutely correct about that. It's a stupid LED strip inside of a light fixture here, too, with a dime driver, 0 to 10 volt or whatever, right? What is it that we're getting wrong, Greg, Eric? What is it, man?
Is it the testing? Is it actually just doing real-world experience with it and getting it out there and then figuring it out and making adjustments? You know, that to me is what it sounds like when Michael was talking. He said, you know, the first one burned up. They were willing to to try it, test it, and that's what happened. And then they learned from it, and then they made the adjustment. I think maybe other people are just doing it slow and not actually getting it out there and not trying it, not figuring it out enough. That could be my only thought.
See, the lighting maybe, is maybe like an afterthought. It's like an afterthought for him. Right?
Right. Right.
Maybe the answer is I saw how sad the dancer can be when it's not working on the stage. And after you see that it's because, yes, we have destroyed like two shows at the beginning because of the technical stuff. And but since then we did, I don't know, 100 or 200 shows and no problem. But yes, yeah, you feel the responsibility for the person in the suit.
And that, kind of. You know, that's probably the answer right there. Mm-hmm. Is that,
I agree with that.
You know, the caring about, because it's needed for the performance. Sure, our light is needed above us in our office. Can we live without it? Yeah. So then it doesn't, people don't care as much. When you're doing a dance production and you need this to work and it doesn't work, that's a problem.
The critical infrastructure piece, you know, when I'm thinking about it, you're talking about 512 channels. That's what you said. That's the word you used, 512 channels. And I know we're picking at your brain here for maybe stuff you're not interested in, but this is what it's our show, okay? No, but, but you know, 512. So that's a limit, right? So you have 512 times, is it like how many different ways you can configure that is probably limitless, right? It's 512 times a number, or what is it? What's the actual amount of different configurations you can do?
Actually, the limit is the 512 channels. One channel means value from 0 to 255. Mm-hmm. And you can give any kind of meaning, basically, to this value. Usually, for the intelligent light, it's used, for example, when you have rotating moving heads, you are using to tilt or rotate the moving head. Then you have another three channels for setting up RGB colors and so on. And for our suits, one suit is using 48 channels. Mm-hmm. And with these 48 channels, you set the different color for every part of the body. And basically, in those 512 channels, we can have up to 10 suites, so 10 dancers. But if we want more, we just add another transmitter for the DMX. It's called Another Universe for DMX.
Okay.
And you can go, like we have used, I think, 24 dancers for now, maximum. But we have tested 50 and it was working fine.
Within those 512 channels and communication is all the options that you're showing on the dancers, correct? So it's like
yes.
You get all the different configurations of those 512 channels is a magnitude higher than the 512 channels. Do I understand that correctly? Because you're combining them into different configurations. Is that correct when you're programming it? This light goes on in the head, it goes off, comes on the arm, and you're just doing all these different ways of turning the lights on and off, correct?
Yeah, but it's more simple, actually. Like the head, you are using three channels, which means RGB color. Mm-hmm. Then you have the chest. Again, you have another three channels, which are using RGB color for the arms and so on.
And then it's just off 16. And on, off and on and dim.
No, because you have 0 to 255. So it's like setting up the RGB color on your monitor or whatever. So you can change the color, like it can fade out or fade in, or you can adjust and make an orange.
So then when you're planning these out, you have your dancers on stage and you're configuring the program to work with the dance act. Is that correct?
And yes.
Then they press play and they go.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, the software is developed to be used for the LED dancers. What it means that you actually see on your screen the LED, every one of those dancers. They don't move, but you can set a different color for every part of the body of every dancer. And this is like one scene, which can be animated because it can flicker. Like it can change color from 0 to white and back, from black to white and so on. And this is like one scene, which is animated. And this scene, then you are using in timeline. So in the timeline, you import the music. You can see the waveform, you can see the bass and everything, and you adjust the time of the scene in the show. So when you press play, it's perfectly synchronized. So the dancers, they know that I don't know, 21 seconds of the show, I will start, or the second guy will start, and so on.
That's incredible. To think about that programming as a part of the beat of the music, that's amazing. When you're watching these, do you ever see mistakes? Because when I watched the performance, I was blown away. Now, obviously, I haven't watched it 100 times. When you're watching it, do you ever see the software make a mistake, or it was off key, or the dancer wasn't in the right position? Do you ever notice that?
All the time.
I didn't see anything. I thought it was perfect.
He's the only one.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, that guy's bad again. That number 10 dancer, he's out. He doesn't get his timing right. He's off cue or whatever. That's so fascinating the way you time it. So what I'm wondering here with this is the problem, and I'm going to go, this is for the lighting industry. So we're kind of taking what you do and applying it to some of the trouble we have. So we're kind of using you a little bit, Michael, if that's okay, to kind of solve some problems in our industry. But, you know, when I look at that, I see two things. Number one, with the lighting industry, Greg, and you comment on this and maybe bring it back to Michael if you don't mind. Number one, there's nobody responsible for how the controls should work. You know, and I know Ron and Webb on the Lighting Controls podcast, they talk about like who's in charge of the controls, like, and how they should work. So Michael is clearly responsible. If the lights don't work, the dancers are pissed off. The people who paid at the show get upset. They want their money back. It's a disaster. Like there's a real intensity to what he's doing. The second thing is he knows what he wants it to do. Right? So he knows what he wants to do. And he's responsible for that aspect of it. Now, it's the dancer's got to dance in their routine. The DJ's got to get the music right. All that sort of stuff has to happen. But he's responsible. I think that's the number one problem with lighting controls in the lighting industry is who's responsible, and they don't know what they want it to do in the first place.
Yeah, I would say you're 100% right. You know, that there's a lot of finger pointing and saying, well, it doesn't work with this system. It works with that. Or you need to do this to make it work. And there's too many people involved in the decision, and then it doesn't work.
And then it gets off default to on.
Just keep it on.
Just keep it on. That's often what happens, Michael. You know, there's a collision course here between theatrical lighting and general lighting. People are starting to want this type of technology in their businesses, in their office buildings, hotels especially, hotel lobbies. A lot of them. I just designed a hotel, and I didn't design it. I filled in the gaps of the designer, and you know, what is it that you guys want this to do, and all this sort of stuff. And what the designer of the hotel wanted from the lighting system and what was specified, Greg and Michael, were two completely different things. What was specified could not do what the hotel designer was envisioning that it would do. I feel like we need to drag Michael into the North American lighting industry here. And what we need is that performance piece up front. You need to know what the performance is of the lighting system. Just like he's doing with these dancers, we need that performance piece. What the hell do you want to do with this lighting control system in the hotel lobby, in the corridors, and in the stairwells, wherever it's going to be put in? What is it that you want it to do, and who's responsible for that? So I think there's a real entry point. Now, obviously, Michael, I'm not telling you how to run your business or anything like that, but there's an entry point for this type of knowledge into the general lighting industry, which is way bigger than the dance industry. Tell you that anyway, in terms of revenues. What do you think that you would say to the lighting industry in respect to that? And even if it's nothing, that's okay. But is there something you would have to, advice you'd have to give them with respect to this type of technology? Use DMX?
Well, you know, I always like to talk with clients, and the little problem we always have that everybody's got his own right answer, how it should be done. So, everybody thinks a little bit different. But I definitely agree with you with the idea that the general lighting and the theater lighting, they will merge in a few years ahead of us. And the reason is what I think the light, it will be required to be more interactive in the future. What I mean by that, for example, here at our company, this background behind me, when I enter this meeting room, it automatically detects that somebody is here, and it will turn on the light. Mm-hmm. So I think these kind of interactive installations, they will be required. And you can imagine, for example, in a hotel lobby, or you have some corridor, and when you come from the one side, it will turn on from this side slowly. Or when you come, sorry. I have here some setup, yeah. And when you come from the other side, it will turn on from this side slowly. And I think this will be the future, especially for the intelligent lighting used in some hotels or things like that.
What is your most favorite project you've been a part of?
I mostly love these dance costumes because... When you see it on the video, it's not maybe 10% of the thing when you see it live with your own eyes, because they are moving in a space. They are in the front, in the back, so definitely there is much more when you see it live. But my most famous project was we covered the Chevrolet Camaro completely with LED strips, so it was like. We turned the Camaro into a monitor, basically. And it was driving around the race and doing drifting in Saudi Arabia. They are so crazy that they need these kind of projects. So that was fun.
So you put it on a car and it became a monitor and it was driving around the desert?
Yes. At the beginning, when I was telling you that we use those pixel LEDs, so we had 25,000 of these LEDs, and this camera was covered with those, and it was running advertisement for Red Bull. So that was fun, and actually also the production side was fun because I did the mapping at 3 o'clock in the morning via web camera. So I always called my guy that move this camera now somewhere else from the other angle from on the camera. And we did the mapping, so yeah, that was fun.
I'm going to ask you another question here. So there's a movement in the lighting industry called queuing, C-U-I-N-G, and that's like telling people what to do with lighting and stuff like that, right? And one of the things that came out of it is you can wake people up a lot more peacefully in a hospital or a maternity ward by setting the lights at a very warm Kelvin temperature and a low level and slowly raising that up over the course of an hour to a higher Kelvin temperature and brighter and things like this. And these have wonderful, wonderful incremental benefits when applied in the correct way across different types of applications. And what you're doing is you're cueing people. You're telling them to watch something specifically. You're telling them you're and you're not, it's beyond cueing. It's like you're mesmerizing them with this lighting show. But there's a couple levels below that where I see applications for this kind of knowledge that Michael has, where we could create magical, wonderful health benefits using electric light with all of the different information that's coming out now, Michael, about the health effects of different kinds of infrared lighting and, Greg, all the things that we've talked about on the lighting podcast. But they need control, and Michael, it has to be prescriptive. And what I mean by that is it has to be designed for a certain outcome and not controlled by the user. Okay? So if you give somebody a dimmer on the wall, the first thing they're going to do is dim the lights, right? But we have information. I think there's a massive opportunity for the lighting industry to look at what Michael's doing for entertainment, Greg, and apply it to darkness restoration, apply it to healthcare settings, apply it smart, knowledgeable people that are responsible and care about the end result. It's almost like you want to turn it into a show or something like that, but it's daily. Like, look at his office. I mean, how many people would like to come to an office? You walk in my office, you walk in the office, the lights come on. We have controls like that, okay? But imagine if you had all these other things going on in the background. It was preset for you. All of a sudden, that little swirling laser thing comes on. There's many, many applications for this, and the lighting industry has to get their heads out of their butts and get it right, Greg Eric. There's money
I'm
to be
with you.
made. There's money to be
That's right.
made. Michael, we've kind of covered our what we think is important from the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. We're very grateful that you came on and shared for us. Do you have any final thoughts or anything for people that are kind of stumbling around in the darkness, so to speak, with controls that you may want to give them a tip or something like that for the listeners out there?
Well, not really. I don't feel that I should give any advice or something. I'm just happy that you are doing what you are doing because, I'm not sure how it is in USA, but we don't have here. We don't have any books about lightning. We don't have any information at all, almost. So I think what you are doing is just great because you are preserving the information for another following generations of the lightning guys. So I just wanted to say thanks.
Thank you. You know
Thank
what's so crazy, Greg, is how many people find our podcast and start from the beginning and listen to the shows. Like, that blows me
Yeah.
away. Like, that the
Awesome.
episode number one still gets downloaded and listened to by people, and they work their way through all these 300 episodes. It's such a wonderful, wonderful gift. We thank you, all the listeners out there. And you know what, Greg, all this tuning and DMX software and laser light shows, you got to hang those lights somehow, Greg Eric. And you got to go to
That's right.
gripblocksystems.com, baby. That's gripblocksystems.com.
Tool-free adjustability, aircraft cable, fast install, saves money on the contractor side, the install side. Been around for 30 years. They have their own in-house engineers. They do it right. Don't use chain, use GripLock.
Go to gripblocksystems.com, and of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. We're getting down in Dallas, Texas in September, buddy. That's right. We're calling on you, the lighting distributors out there, to join us for America's Lighting Convention happening. We're going to tour the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. It's going to be a fun time. And yeah, check it out at nail.org. We got lots of other stuff going down. There's just so much stuff. I can't even remember it anymore. So many things we got going on at Nail with you folks. I mean, we're just so thankful for all the listeners out there, all you people that keep this show going. We don't have listeners. We only have colleagues that don't do podcasts. Get this paper out of here. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.